GM, everyone. Welcome to our next AMA. We have a ton of questions today. Perhaps a new record. I don't know. Seems like people have had all these pent-up questions. Suddenly they just unleashed them all on me. But there's a lot of good questions, so let's get right into it. I should say, Merry Christmas, everyone. What is this? This our third Christmas together? Something like that. It's been quite a ride. Pretty long time. Hopefully many more. But anyways, back to the questions. So first question we have from Taste. It's, can you go through who the most significant new competitors are? I feel like competition is hyping up, but I don't have a full overview of the landscape. By the way, I really love that there is more competition. It is necessary to improve general UI, I think he means UX in crypto, but it obviously changes the dynamics for us. Maybe you can share your thoughts on this. Yeah, I totally agree. Competition is good for crypto as a whole. But not necessarily good for us specifically. So, I guess just to give some historical background, originally our main competitors were DEXs in terms of volume. So that'd be like, it was mainly Orca. This is like before Radium started really popping off with all the meme coin volume. So back in the day, especially when we started, Orca was the leader in volume on Solana. But as those of you who have been with us for a long time know, the liquidity on these concentrated liquidity market makers are actually very important for us because it provides liquidity for our pools to arbitrage against. So in that sense, Orca and Radium and Meteora aren't exactly competitors. They sort of are. We compete for retail volume, but they provide us with arbitrage volume. And about 70% of our volume is arbitrage volume. So overall, those DEXs are actually great for us. So after a few months or so, since we launched Liffinity, market makers on order books started to be the main competitors. So back then that was Serum. This is like before the FTX collapse. And after the FTX collapse, that moved to Open Book and then eventually to Phoenix. Now these market makers, their strategies are much more similar to ours because they do pay attention to the prices on centralized exchanges and they adjust their bids and asks according to that. So then they became our main competitor. And in most cases, we aren't able to arbitrage against them much because they change their bids and asks before arbitrage traders are able to trade against them. So in that sense, like, they're more like true competitors to us. Right now we have more volume than Phoenix. So yeah, we are doing better than them, especially in like the Sol pools. Market makers, like order books, have markets for like most of the major markets. That includes like meme coins and other large assets like Jupe. And so they may be doing better than us in some of those. Like more recently, our meme coin pools, Jupe pools, and things like that haven't been doing so well. There's a few reasons for that. I think I'll get into it later because someone else asked a question around that. But yeah, for now, like, our Sol pools are doing very well. And that's primarily because that's where we spend most of our dev time optimizing those pools, just because like they are the most profitable and the most worthwhile to optimize. And then in recent months, there's been two new entrants as like a category of competitors. So one is the what I'll call the copycats. These are Solfi and Obrick. I think I talked about them in the past two AMAs, but basically they copy our model, and so they are basically like true competitors. They aren't doing as well as we are. They probably haven't optimized as much as we have. And as far as I know, last time we checked, the Oracle that they're using is not something they've made themselves. They're just using other oracles. I think Solfi is probably using shoot, drawing a blank. Jupiter's perps asset, JLP. So they're using the Oracle for JLP, which is not as robust as ours is. And I think that's probably the main reason that they're not doing as well. There could be other factors, but yeah, so they are competition, but we're doing better than them. And then the final category of competitor is RFQs, or request for quote, and those are Jupyter Z and Dflow. Dflow is still very new, and they're not even integrated into Jupyter. Actually, I don't know if they will be. I feel like they're more poised as a competitor to Jupyter, so like as a aggregator. Actually, now I can't remember if they actually aggregate or not. But anyways, they're both RFQs, and the way those work basically is market makers will say, we'll buy X amount of this asset for this price for the next Y seconds. So they guarantee a price for some time slot, and if you are able to submit, or if you're able to sign a transaction or sign a message within that time span, then they will execute a trade for you on your behalf at the promised, the quoted price. So they're also essentially like their market making logic is probably quite similar to like an order book, but there's some practical differences. The user signs a message, and then they execute the transaction on your behalf. So they don't have to do this thing like you do on order books, where you place bids and asks and then cancel them when you want to change your prices. So there's like a few differences like that. But essentially, in terms of like logic, it's quite similar. So they're also a true competitor. And so those players are actually not as problematic to Livfinity as Solfi and Obrick are, the copycats. That's mainly cut because they basically only compete for retail volume. So in a sense, they're more like Orca and Radium in that sense. But how they're different from Radium and Orca is that we can't arbitrage against them, at least not yet. I think if I so what Luffy told me is that I don't think there's like a API to trade against Jupyter Z, which means like it's not easy to programmatically do like arb trades against them. But if somebody figures out how to use the Jupyter front end to start doing ARBs, then it could get more tough for Jupiter Z market makers because, again, like they have to promise a price for a certain number of seconds. And when you guarantee it like that and the price moves while you still promised a price, that presents the opportunity for you to get arbitraged against and while still like giving this what is now an outdated price. And so in that scenario, they would become more like Radium and Orca, although still better from the market maker's perspective than that, because each however many second interval they can change their price, whereas Radium and Orca, they can never change their price of the DEX's own volition. You have to wait for traders to trade against you, so you will 100% get arbitraged, but you won't 100% get arbitraged on Jupiter Z. But there is a possibility, and that means that market makers, when that starts happening, they're going to have to widen their spreads to prevent that kind of toxic flow. And yeah, so like it's not going to be easy for them, for sure. And yeah, I think we definitely have the advantage. Basically, like our Oracle infrastructure is really strong. It's something we spent a ton of time on and continue to work on whenever it needs improvements. Yeah, so but yeah, those are all the competitors that I'm aware of. It's getting pretty complex, isn't it? But yeah, that's the landscape. Right, next question is from Swans. Can you also cover if there is anything in the community we can do beyond locking Lifinity and buying flares to support Lifinity as a project? Yeah, so for Lifinity, the main thing is just to spread the gospel of aggregators. Like, there's no reason to swap on an individual DEX when you can get at least as good a price on an aggregator. So just continue to educate anyone who is not aware of that. Just tell them to swap on Jupiter. And if a viable competitor ever pops up, then can recommend that as well. And then for Sandglass, Sandglass has like okay usage right now, but there's definitely a lot room for growth, especially like if you judge based on the volume that Pendle is generating. And I think the number one way for that to happen is organically for users to talk about trades they've made on Sandglass where they were able to generate a profit. Because that's basically the only reason people want to trade is if they think they can make money. So, if you have made a profitable trade on Sandglass, talk about it on Twitter. The Sandglass account will be more than happy to amplify your post. Yeah. Yield trading is still quite new on Solana, so a lot of people don't even know what that is. So, yeah, getting the word out is probably like the main way that the community can help Sandglass. Yeah. All right, next question from Taste. Congrats to all on the fat payout. Maybe go through if you have your own thoughts as to what Lifinity did for such a reward today. Obviously, the main factors are quite obvious. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of volume on Solana, and especially for SOL, the asset, which is like the main one we market make for. So there's that. Also just like optimizations we've continued to make. I mean, it's kind of like a boring thing to say. I know we say that all the time, but that is the majority of dev time is spent on improving the market making, and yeah, it works as we've seen. I mean, I think those are basically the main things. Not sure what else there is. Right, next question is Chipple0801. What is the strategy to maintain and grow market share slash revenue, especially when the market is full of DEXs? Yeah, so just to be clear, our goal is never to grow market share, but our goal is to grow revenue. And the two are not necessarily the same. You can increase market share while decreasing revenue. If we just lowered fees a bunch, we'd get a lot more market share, but less revenue. So yeah, we're just singularly focused on revenue. Yeah, so we're not trying to become number one. And basically, we're just trying to capture all the good volume. So these are trades where we get to trade at a favorable price relative to what the quote true price is on mainly on centralized exchanges, because that's where price discovery happens. And so that's the price that we want to be trading at. And yeah. So I mean that's the gist of it. And the way we increase revenue is by improving our strategy, the market making strategy. And I could talk about it, but it's like, you know, it's pretty technical. And also, we've basically just made it a policy to not talk about it because it contains alpha. And you know, we've talked about revealed some alpha in the past. For example, like how V2 works. But, you know, like maybe that gives our community more confidence, but it also, like, it actually is alpha. And that's why SolFi and Obric exist. It's because they know how our DEX works, at least, like, in the big picture sense. And so they made copycat protocols because what we built works really well, and they realize that. So, yeah, we don't really want to talk about the details because it doesn't really accomplish anything. It actually results in reducing our revenue, unfortunately. So yeah. So sorry, that's kind of cryptic, but yeah, it's like that's what's best for all of us, I believe. So yeah, just gonna leave it at that. All right, next question is from Jay Gills. Happy holidays for whatever you celebrate. Great job last month. Pools did wonderful as usual. If you could give a rough estimate of where the percentage of time is spent regarding managing current pools, finding new pools, and sandglass, and also touch on the effort to find new pools to be involved in without sharing secrets. I noticed some of the previously strong pools, such as Bonk and Whiff, have not really been performing lately. Can you talk about that at all, and if efforts to manage those have shifted out elsewhere? What's the startup cost regarding both time and actual dollars to get involved in new tokens? I may have more follow-up depending on the answers. Yeah, so in terms of like how much time we spend on each of these things, approximately like 90% of our time is spent managing and improving the existing pools, mainly the soul pools. And the remaining 10% is for other tasks like fixing the front end, managing our bots and stuff like that. That's for Lifinity, and then yeah, so I'm not sure like if you include everything what the split would be, but then right now we're working on deploying Sandgloss on Eclipse. So that takes some time as well. And then we're working on the audit, which there is some back and forth. So that's another thing. But yeah, the bottom line is like the vast majority of our time is spent optimizing pools. Yeah. Let's see. With regards to finding new pools, like one we've been working on recently is USDS, pairing that with Sol. Unfortunately, it's been difficult to make that one profitable. It's not a lot of volume. And a bunch of pools end up that way. Not necessarily because of lack of volume. Could be like price discovery is happening on chain, so the Oracle model just doesn't work well. Like the reason that like Bonk and Whiff may have stopped being as profitable as they used to could be due to things like that. And it's actually possible that like we could make them more profitable, or we could make them profitable, period. If we're able to like improve their oracles, for example. But we don't have infinite time, and if there's ever a choice, we choose to like spend more time on the soul pools, just because like they have so much more potential for profit. The vast majority of our revenue comes from them. And so yeah, there's not always time left to work on these more minor pools. Let's see. And then you ask. In terms of like startup cost, I mean, there isn't really much. Like, you know, we buy whatever asset to start market making with it, but it's not a cost exactly. We just get price exposure that way, but yeah, there's not much cost, like maybe slightly more server costs or whatever. But yeah, the cost is basically immaterial. It's more about time that we have to spend optimizing and whether we have that time. But yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot on our plate. Yeah, hope that answers everything. All right, Dan F. Scribber asks, how's everything going on Eclipse? Yeah, so Eclipse, right now we have a total of about like 300K of liquidity. And it generates like 260K of volume per day, something like that. The net APRs are pretty variable. ETH-USDC is 423%. SOL-USDC is 184%. WHIF-USDC is 49%. So, like, not bad at all. But also, like, the revenue of these pools is still relatively small compared to our pools on Solana. So yeah, like Eclipse hasn't started any aggressive campaigns or anything to try to gain adoption. I think they eventually will. And when that happens, we can probably expect volumes to increase. I'm actually not sure like what the arbitrage bot situation is. Like I was saying earlier, a lot of our volume is arbitrage, so I would guess that there are a few bots by now arbitraging between our Eclipse pools and Orca's pools on Eclipse. But yeah, there's just overall not a ton of volume on Eclipse as a whole. So, but yeah, I think we can expect that to increase a decent amount in the coming years. So, yeah. And Taste follows up with and other chains. We're not on any other chains yet right now. It's just Solana in Eclipse. That could change, but not yet. All right, the Promino asks on SVM. After deploying Lfinity on Eclipse for a few months, what do you think of Eclipse and SVM in general? I mean, SVM is great. It's definitely better than EVM. Yeah, I mean, it's just like more performant. Eclipse, I mean, I guess I kind of already talked about what I think. Yeah, like it's going fine. It's going good. It's just a lot smaller scale than everything on Solana, so. Has the Eclipse revenue been included in the monthly reward distribution to VE Lfinity holders? Not yet. The revenues, like I said, are quite small. I think it was like 1.5K last month. So, yeah, so it's like not super worth our time to transport that revenue over. But once it starts getting meaningful, yeah, we'll start including it. Because it's not like we're gonna issue a new token on Eclipse or anything. The value will accrue to the Lfinity holders on Solana. And final part, would you be interested in deploying Lfinity too soon? That's a Solana Optimistic Network. Attaching a related tweet below. Yeah, so soon, still very new. It's not live. They use SVM, which is great because that means we can just use our code as is, same as Eclipse. So in that sense, definitely interested. Still waiting to like find out more about it. Yeah, it's still like very new, so it's like hard to say whether we will or not, but definitely interested. If nothing else, because it's SVM. Right, next question is from Kalon. The 24-hour volume shown on the dashboard today is roughly 360 million, whereas the cumulative 24-hour volume shown on the pools page is roughly 163 million. Can you expand on how the volumes on the dashboard are calculated and without giving away any secrets, explain where the large difference is coming from? Actually, Cryptom in the next post points out that not all pools are tracked on the dashboard, but you can find them on SolScan, which is true. Some of our pools are more experimental. And we change the liquidity and strategy a lot more frequently. And so that's why they're not on the main pools page. But yeah, they are on chain, of course. So you can find that information on SoulScan if you want. But yeah, that's the reason for the discrepancy. But yeah, the in terms of like cumulative volume on our dashboard, like that does count all the pools. So that is the true source of, or yeah, or it, I'm trying to say, trust what you see on the dashboard, because it includes everything. All right. Chardo asks, are we still buying back Lifinity other than placing the concentrated bids? The Lifinity buybacks only seems to contain the concentrated bids information. Yeah, so we did a vote, I think it was a few months ago, where we changed our model, where previously I think we were just doing buybacks with the buyback funds, or maybe we were doing both at one point, buybacks and a bid. But now we're just doing bids. Unless the price falls below the book value, in which case we buy Lifinity back to the book value. Yeah. So, yeah, that's how we're doing things now. We voted on it. I don't think we're looking to change it. I mean, it seems to be working just fine. It's kind of like people can move the price up if they want to. But if they don't want to, then we'll just bring it up ourselves to the book value type of thing. And if it's above book value, then we provide liquidity from the current price down to the book value. So there's a downside protection, so to speak. Yeah, so that's the current way we're using the buyback funds for Lifinity DAO. All right, Ipromino says, looking at the pools dashboard now, I see many pools with 0 7-day volume. Is this correct, or there's a bug on the dashboard? Yeah, so this is correct. We turned those pools off because they weren't profitable. I mean, it's basically what I talked about earlier, where we probably could make these pools profitable again, but the opportunity for the SOL USD pool, SOL. The opportunity for the SOL USDC pools is just way larger and much more worth our time. And so that's where we've decided to focus our efforts and spend our time. But yeah, it's possible that one day we will go back to optimizing these pools again. And it's not guaranteed that we can make them profitable. I also mentioned this earlier, but it's also dependent on like where price discovery is happening. So if it's happening on chain, then our Oracle model basically doesn't work in that kind of environment. We're using the wrong price for our Oracle, essentially. Because the DEX price is the right price, not the SEX price. So yeah, and recently, like if you've looked at DeFi Llama's dashboard, I've seen the DEX versus SEX dominance stat be as high as 40%. So that means like a total of all crypto volumes, 40% of that was happening on DEXs, which is like very high, historically speaking. And And obviously, that doesn't mean like it's 40% for all assets. That's just the average. So that likely means that for some assets, their price discovery is happening on chain, while for others, it's happening on SEXs. Solana, for example, Sol, its price discovery is happening on SEXs, largely speaking. So, yeah, and that's like, the primary reason why our pools are so profitable, our Sol USDC pools. But yeah. Anyways, yeah, the pools page is correct. They're just turned off for now. Next, he says, any alpha for us? What's the next Project S? We don't have anything to share at this moment. I hope you appreciate that. Like, launching a new protocol is a ginormous task. And like it, the work is ongoing. It's not like because we launched it, we're done or something. Like, we're doing an audit and working on new pools and launching on Eclipse, and the work for Lifinity always remains, of course. So, I mean, don't expect for us to be like continuously launching new protocols one after another. Yeah, the alpha is in the monthly revenue report. That is the alpha. And also our roadmap. Have you heard of our roadmap? Increase revenue, reduce supply. That's our roadmap. All right, next, Ipromino says, on the new pools, what's the status on JLP USDC pool? On the AMA a few months ago, you promised to ask the devs about the possibility to open that pool. JLP USDC pool is consistently one of the highest volume pools on Meteora. Yeah, I'm certain I did ask them. And unfortunately, I don't remember what they told me, but it must have been something that made it unfeasible. But now I'm going to go ask them again. And yeah, I'll try to get back to you on that. Let me take a note so I don't forget. Next is, do you have a plan to start a Coinbase or CBBTC USDC pool? I think CBBTC is gaining more adoption over TBTC. Yeah, I guess we also tried WBTC and TBTC, and they weren't that profitable. They were profitable. They weren't losing money, but they were definitely not that profitable. I think the main reason is like there's just very little demand to trade BTC on Solana, at least right now. And I don't think CBBTC has anything about it that would make people want to trade it more. I'm not sure what would make people want to trade it more. I mean, I think people just want to trade it on centralized exchanges. It's like, because if you're trading BTC, it's like if you're on a centralized exchange, you have the centralized exchange risk. But if you're trading it on another chain like Ethereum or Solana, like it's wrapped in some way, or it's custody in some smart contract, so then it has that risk too. Like, it's not like trading Sol on Solana or ETH on Ethereum. It always carries some custody risk, even if it's not a centralized entity. In this case, it's like, I mean, it is a centralized entity, at least as far as I know. It's just like Coinbase custody for you, right? So, yeah, as far as I see, there's like not much demand to trade it, and therefore there's not much potential for profit for us. So, yeah, it's not really a priority. I mean, it's kind of like the other pools, like Bonk, Whiff, Jupe, Ray, where, like, yeah, if we spent the time, we could probably make it profitable, but our time is just better spent elsewhere, namely the Sol USDC pools. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with that. Number three, what's the status on the PayPal's potential collab on Sol PYUSD pool? Yeah, so I asked, I finally got in touch with someone from the Solana Foundation, and they told me that PayPal is winding down their incentives. So, yeah, I actually was never able to get in touch with them, but that's what I was told. So, I guess they're not really gonna. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess they're just happy with whatever adoption they got. I don't know what they plan to do now. Like, I mean, it seems like if they don't keep doing stuff, you're just gonna lose to USDC and USDT. They never even reached the level of USDC, USDT, and I mean, the only reason people brought PYUSD on chain was for that, like, free money, essentially, right? The liquidity mining rewards. Probably mostly on Kamino. Yes, but yeah, unfortunately, so that's looking like it's not a thing. Number four, what do you think of the new yield-bearing USD stablecoins, such as USDY, USD Star, and SUSDE? Do you see the potential to open Sol USD pools on these new stablecoins? Yeah, well, USDS was one we were trying to work on. Unfortunately, it was not looking profitable. USDY, man, I'm getting confused, like, which one is which? USD Star is Parena, right? The they got the petals, which is like points. Someone remind me what USDY is. Oh, is that the Hilo? Ondo. Oh, okay, that's Ondo. Yeah, so Ondo gives you the treasury yield, right? So I mean, that's good. I mean, like, I feel like over the long term, it seems like it only makes sense that, like, the pairs, the trading pairs, the main pools for Sol USD something trading pairs is gonna be things like USDY or USD Star or SUSDE, where, but yeah, especially like USDY, where like you get the treasury yield. Like, that's essentially risk-free yield. I mean, quote, risk-free, as risk-free as it gets, I guess. Where like Circle and Tether just keep that treasury yield for themselves. So like just makes so much more sense for like the person holding the USD on-chain asset to be getting that yield. It's like there's no reason that Circle or Tether should be getting it. Yeah, so I think over the long term, it makes a lot more sense for assets like USD assets that have yield, like inherent yield, to be paired with Sol, but it's not the case yet, obviously. And as soon as volumes start shifting, like we'll obviously just shift our pools to whatever is generating the most volume. But like we can't really make that happen. I don't know how it'll happen, Maybe it'll just be gradual. Maybe it'll be through incentives. I don't know. I don't know how it happens, but yeah, it seems like that will have to happen over the longer term. I mean, I don't think it'll be staked with things like USD Star or SUSDE because those have additional risks and therefore higher yield. But yeah, because of the additional risk, hard to imagine for me anyways that it would be like the main trading pair to be paired with Sol. But yeah, I mean, I think they're great assets. If we could make Sol pools paired with them, that'd be great. But I mean, like USDS, like they just have so little volume. There's just very little organic retail demand to trade from Sol to these assets. And there's not much liquidity either. So, like in the vast majority of cases, the trading route just ends up being like Sol to USDC and then USDC to whatever, like SUSDE or whatever. Yeah, so I mean, that's just the way things are. Hopefully they change because it would make a lot of sense. But yeah, we're kind of powerless to make that happen. All right. JGills asks, follow up from my question. Is there something us in the community can do to help with those underperforming pools? That is, donate our time. I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, it's basically just like coding and data analysis. I mean, it's not like unimaginable that that happens, but basically, we would have to, like, reveal information for people to process it. And, I mean, like, we would need to teach people how to process it, and we would have to, like, I don't know, like, worry about whoever it is not being someone from another team or whatever. And, I mean, that seems highly unlikely, of course, but. Anyways, like, yeah, I think it's probably not feasible. Like, it's just like, like it would take extra time to even like get that kind of process started, I think. And like a lot of the evaluation of like what needs to be done, like what is good and what is bad, like a lot of that is like learned knowledge from years of like doing this work. That's not easily like can't be easily codified into a like a if then, if this, then that type of logical format. I mean, obviously, like, not everything is intuitive. Some of that can be codified in that way, but not everything. So, yeah, like, even communicating how to do this stuff would probably take a lot of time. But, yeah, appreciate you offering the help. Oh, White Turtle Bill. It's been a while since I've seen you in an AMA. Let me take a sip real quick. Shout out to White Turtle Bill, doing a lot of good work for the Flare DAO these days. Appreciate all you do. GM Durden, hope you've had a nice holiday. Many thanks to you and the team for your continued work making us all rich. In discussing the Flare DAO's plan to upgrade NFT standards to MPL 404, I've often wondered, is this something that we have the Lifinity team's blessing to move forward with? Yeah, basically. I mean, like, we're not against it in any way. Like, I like the MPL 404. Like, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, I think. How to get there, like, I don't really know. Like, as you've wrote about a lot recently, like, the like transferring over to that model has proved more tricky than we hoped it would be, unfortunately. But like, I mean, yeah, being able to freely transfer, or what do you say, like trade between tokens and NFTs, like, I think that makes a ton of sense. Like, every NFT should be like that, in my opinion, but yeah, just due to historical circumstances, like, that's not the way the NFT world turned out. Because, like, progress is incremental, of course. You don't have the final ideal vision right from the start. So, yeah. If we could get there, I think that'd be great. What are you guys doing for New Year's? I actually have zero plans so far. A Promino asks, with the recent increase in revenue, are you planning to recruit new team members to help optimize the pools? I assume new members can create the flywheel we're hoping for the expected bull run in 2025. So, most of our new hires, they don't touch the pool strategy part. Partially because what I was just talking about with J-Gills, where it's like it's not easy to transfer all that knowledge because it's not like it's not completely step by step, like if this, then that type of logic. So Luffy and Zoro handle the vast majority of like Lifinity stuff. Most of our new hires, we've had them work on Sandglass things or like front end things or some like integration stuff like that. Yeah, so like we wish it were as easy as just like hiring more people and then boom, we can create more new pools or optimize existing ones, but yeah, unfortunately it's not quite that simple. And there is a real advantage to having the team be small. The more people there are, the more communication is needed, and that does actually take a bunch of time. Time that you used to not need to spend communicating. So, Yeah, it's definitely not the case that like larger is better. But yeah, when we built Sandglass, we did reach a point where we're like, yeah, I think if we add people right now, it would definitely be a net value add, and we'll get more work done on the whole. But yeah, it's not clear that beyond the four members we have right now, or the four devs, I mean, it would be beneficial. So, yeah. Okay. White Turtle Bill says, excellent. I do realize that there will likely be some areas that we will need the team's help with, but trying to minimize the amount of work that falls on your plate. Currently having a few conversations with some folks at Metaplex and Mutant Labs to see what options we have available. So far, discussions have been promising. Thank you for the response. I also am very excited about the transition. Makes a lot of sense. Would be great for the FlareDAO to be one of the projects who can be looked at as one of the early success stories for the new standard. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I mean, Flares definitely have a unique aspect to them. Actually, I think you or someone else, I think it was you, mentioned it today where like it's essentially like simpler than Lifinity. Or you can kind of view it as like something built on top of Lifinity, where it just receives revenue and it does buybacks and increases the price. Like that's kind of all you need to know. And if you're curious about details, obviously you can dive into Lifinity more, but yeah, that simplicity is nice, I think. Definitely a breath of fresh air in the NFT space where like everything is, I don't know, like for most projects, like price is just the function of attention and how much hype it's able to maintain over time. But not so with flares. Man, still is pretty crazy to think about how we've bought back, what is it now? Probably like 27% of the supply. That's a lot. And all the while, prices going up. And that's true even when like looking at the USD value. Like the price of SOL is now higher than when we did the initial mint sale. I think SOL was like 180 or something. I mean, I guess we're around that price. We're like slightly above it or something. But the NFT price is almost four times the initial price. So, yeah, it's almost four times the initial price. Plus, there's one fourth fewer NFTs. Like, when you think about it like that, pretty dope. White Turtle Bill says, I've thought for some time that the FlareDAO could eventually develop into a sort of community-run marketing arm of the Lifinity project. Is that also something you see happening or possible given the right push? I mean, yeah, like it doesn't necessarily have to be FlareDAO. Like, I mean, you know, it can be Lifinity.to too, but it makes the most sense probably for FlareDAO because, I mean, they have their own funding. Plus, I mean, just like the NFTs, NFTs give you like a greater, what do you say, like sense of identity or attachment than tokens do, just because they're visual and they're each unique. So like in that sense, yeah, it makes sense that like FlareDAO would have like a stronger, the members of the FlareDAO probably have a stronger sense of community than like Lifinity DAO. Yeah, so I think that makes sense. And people who have flares tend to be like people who have been with us for the longest. Since we launched the NFTs before our tokens, so yeah, in that sense too. Like flared out people tend to be the diehards, and also tend to be the people who understand what's going on. White Turtle Bill says, just want to finish off with another thank you for all the work you and the team do. I've not got more questions, but wish all of you a happy new year. Likewise, sir. And just to reiterate, appreciate all you're doing for FlareDAO, as do the FlareDAO members. Like, you actually do get a lot of shit done. So, yeah, that's really great to see. Promino says, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Durden. Thanks a lot for your hard work over the years. Really appreciate it. Likewise, man. I mean, it really is a privilege to be able to work for Lifinity. I feel very blessed. Like honestly, I just feel lucky. Like one day I'm just lurking in the Lifinity Discord. Next day I'm hired. And what a ride it's been. There's been ups, there's been downs, but overall it's been pretty amazing. White Turtle Bill says, actually, I do have another question, but this is about the Jupiter Working Group. You are a part of that still, yes? Yeah, so I am a part of it. I reduced my role in it. So originally I was just like a standard member of the core working group. Initially it was me, Cryptic, Slorg, and Kimosabe. And right now it's just Cryptic, Slorg, and Kimosabe. Actually, maybe there are a couple other members. There's like a bunch of other groups, the with different names, and I'm kind of not sure where everyone lies within that. But anyways, as for my role, I'm now just an advisor. So I'm not as active as I used to be. But yeah, I try to give my input where I feel like I have something useful to say. Like for example, I tried really hard to push for this upcoming Jupiary. I was trying to push really hard. I mean, I kind of did for the initial one as well, but I want them to let choosers let the people receiving the Jupe airdrop to decide whether they want to stake or not. It's like really simple. And if you let people do that and then give more tokens to people who decide to stake. That means like the longer term holders will get more tokens, simply. I mean, this is basically just the same thing as like VEIDO, right? It's like same concept essentially. But yeah, I don't know if that's going to actually happen. Like, I mean, it's basically up to Miao, I think. And I think he sees the logic in it, but I know that he tends to see things pretty differently than me. And, like, I don't mean that in a bad way or anything. Obviously, he's led Jupiter to great success, so. But yeah, so he may have other ideas, but to me, like, that makes like so much sense. You've seen it work for Drift, for Sanctum, for us. Yeah, just introducing that element of time just like makes a big difference, and easily puts more tokens in the hands of people who plan to hold for the longer term anyways. So I hope that happens. I mean, yeah, so that's just one thing I was trying to push for recently. We'll see if it happens. Anyways, yeah, I'm just an advisor now. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like overall I haven't had too much of an impact on Jupiter. Like, I share my opinions, but so far anyways, they've rarely been used. But yeah, whatever. White Turtle Bill says, has there been any interest from teams on Solana about using the VEIDO structure for their token launches? I'm still surprised we haven't seen more people use this setup. Yeah, I don't think any team has ever reached out to me. Actually, a couple teams have reached out from the Ethereum ecosystem, but not about the VEIDO, but more about like our protocol-owned liquidity model. And yeah, like asking questions about that and possibly using it for their project. I mean, one was like a Uniswap style concentrated liquidity market maker. And so like for that it gets kind of tricky, right? Because like if you're going to own the liquidity, that means you have to choose the range in which to provide liquidity and adjust it when prices move and stuff like that. So you also need like a market making strategy, which, you know, normally on CLMMs, like they just outsource that to all the LPs, so they don't have to care about profitability or anything. So yeah, can be tricky for them. But yeah, I think mostly when people have reached out, it's either about like our Oracle-based decks. Actually, yeah, one team reached out about that as well. An Ethereum project. Or our protocol-owned liquidity. I don't know. There was a period when like there was this kind of like people were anti-VE, basically. Like probably because of Curve. I'm not don't remember the exact details, but like, yeah, something wasn't going well for Curve, and then people were like, "Oh, VE sucks." And then I don't know, kind of, yeah, had this like aversion to anything that had VE in its name. And like R VE is like pretty different from Curve's. Like the center point of their model is that they have liquidity mining rewards. And like we don't have any of that, so like our VE is quite different. But yeah, so teams have reached out actually, but not about using the VE IDO. I mean, like, IDOs themselves kind of died down for a while, didn't they? Even though, like, in terms of, like, the narrative, at least, like, there's kind of a resurgence. People are like, all these meme coin rugs and all these giant raises for infrastructure, it all sucks. We should go back to IDOs. And especially now that we have a more favorable regulatory environment in the US. So, projects don't need to worry as much about the SEC coming after them and stuff. But I mean, that hasn't happened yet, so I mean, we'll have to see. Oh, and yeah, you say maybe this will change if we get more governmental regulatory clarity in the coming months or years. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fingers crossed. It's super helpful when we get you riffing on topics like this. Gave me ideas for a bunch of new Twitter threads. I don't know, man. I feel like, I mean, sometimes I'm just like rehashing what I've read or heard elsewhere. But I guess my Twitter scrolling and podcast listening is at least useful for something. Any podcast recommendations? Let me see. See my list. Is this just crypto? I'm assuming just crypto. At the risk of mentioning things that everyone already knows, we have the Coliseum podcast, When Shift Happens. Expansion on the Margin, Raoul Paul, The Index, Mid Curve, the Monad podcast. I don't know what it's called. It's just a giant P logo. The Gort Show. Let's see. I think this one's called Mid. No, wait, that's Mid Curve. One with the M. I don't remember what it is. The Hive Mind, Enter DAO, Steady Lads, Lightspeed, the Y-Axis Pod, Chewing Glass, The Next Billion, Unlayered, the Logan Jastrzemski Podcast, Sulfate Podcast, the Network State Podcast, Xerox Research, Bell Curve, Good Game, Goodwill Yunting, Empire, Exploring Solana with Jupiter. Is that one dead? I don't know. Web3 A16Z Crypto, The Zeitgeist, that's Phantom, might be dead. Web 2.5, I don't even remember what that is. There's the oh man, what's this one called? The Parsec podcast. The Scoop, the Lifinity podcast for these AMAs. Can't forget. Magic Eden Hour. The Jump Off Point. The Forefront. No, wait. Oh, yeah. The Forefront podcast. The Metaplex podcast, which is coming soon, apparently. Oh, wait. But that's what they said in 2022. So maybe it's not. It never went live. let's see. Deep in the Money from Deribit. That's probably dead. Orca Pod. That's probably dead. The Cove. Coin Gecko Podcast. Might be dead. This Liquid. Yeah, podcast called Liquid. The Defiant. The Blockchain Debate Podcast. The Delphi Podcast. Unchained. Bankless. Validated. Unconfirmed. UCC2. The Flippening, probably dead. On the Brink. Yep, those are all the crypto podcasts. Those are all crypto podcasts. Damn, that's kind of insane. I didn't realize I had. I mean, I don't listen to every episode of all of those, but I listen to a lot. Damn, that was a lot. There's 30 or 40 podcasts for you. You guys got any more questions for the year of our Lord 2024? No one's gonna ask for a picture of my other foot. Like, you guys are really satisfied with just that one foot pick. I mean, all right. All good. I'm not offended. No worries. Right, well, that was a good one. Went for quite a while. A lot of good questions. Excited for the year ahead. It's shaping up to be the second or third leg of this bull market. Or at least that's my expectation. So yeah, hope to see a good year, 2025. Should be fun. Thanks for everyone who showed up this AMA and posted a bunch of good questions. You guys are awesome. Thanks for being part of the community. Yeah, let's have another great year together. Once again, Merry Christmas. I wish you all a happy New Year with festive times. And yeah, I should have prepared a better end of the year speech, but alas, all my focus was on answering the questions. Anyways, hope you guys don't regret not asking me for picture of my other foot. Because it's too late now. Don't ask now, because you're never going to get it. All right, have a good one, everyone. See you in 2025. Woo!